There will be spoilers ahead. Lots of spoilers, so be careful, won't you? Episode 389, Tops and Bottoms. Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's production of a George Lucas film as reinterpreted by Bumpy the Wonder Pony. It's a sad, sad day in the podcasting universe, for Max Levine, master of the Venerable Order of the Jew-Eye Knights, has up and disappeared. Vanished. Skedaddled. Poofed. Gone, baby, gone. And it's real, real sad. Left on his own, Mike Luce, apprentice, sidekick, hanger-on, left-hand man can do nothing but to try and continue on totally without Max. No Max, no Mas. Ever again. Fired. And everything. Yes, this episode has no Max in it because Max just up and left, never to be seen again. But how, oh, how can Mike hope to tackle a film as big as Star Wars The Force Awakens by himself? Well, he'll just have to persevere. Carry on. Continue alone. Keep on trucking. Rock around the clock. Dance till he drops. Oh, wait! There he is! Never mind.
Hi.
We'll just continue on with Max Mike movies. Just a little joke with my old pal Max. And what better way to start this episode? Would have been better if he'd never... The host is none other than Max. Will you get on with it, Levine? Say something clever, Max.
Your pain will be lengthy.
It usually is. And I'm the guy who's not likely to survive this episode. Mike Luce. Enough of all this fun. Instead, let's get on to...
Poll question.
Last week, we asked y'all what animated movie could make a good live-action movie. Here's what you had to say. Our old friend Vince sent us a comment via Canadogram because he's from Canada, and he said, quote, I think a few years ago I might have had a list, but in the last decade or so, many films I might have wanted to see a live-action version of were made into one, and, well, I can barely stomach the idea now. I think some came out okay, but I don't really think cartoons translate well. The only thing I can think of is a series based on the books Disney made The Black Cauldron from, as the film did not work as a Disney animation film and might make a decent series, and today's effects would be able to handle that stuff that only animation could take on when the film was made, end quote. I think it's called The Chronicles of Prydain.
Something like that, some sort of Welshish name.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Thanks, Vince.
Yeah.
Down at the bottom of our mailbag, I see we have a missive from our scholar, Below Lady Max.
Bellolating, bellolating, bellolating.
Oh, the dulcet tones as you sing away.
He sent the pipes are calling.
Yeah, pipe down. He sent, quote, Magneto was right, you know. My take, no! The Disney live action... I thought he was actually quoting Marcel Marceau, but there you go. That's a deeper. The Disney live-action remakes of their classics are case in point. You cannot transition animation over to live-action easily, or at least without majorly reworking the story, which Disney is just not willing to do. Same old songs, same color schemes, same old everything, with some token second-tier songs inserted for potential Oscar nods. He's not wrong.
No, he's not.
All of Sebastian's and Scuttle's jokes in the Little Mermaid remake fell like lead sinkers because the animals were too realistic. They had no facial expressions at all. It was off-putting. People feel concerned for the also-frozen-in-time townsfolks in the village in Beauty and the Beast, where we could not care less in the live-action version. Snow White and the Seven Dwarves was panned because it just doesn't work in live action. Everyone started speculating about whether Snow White was a socialist when, in the animated version, people just want to cheer for the princess. Animation gives the viewer license to suspend disbelief that much more than when viewing real sets and real actors. I can forgive Puss in Boots jumping a football field or even surviving being thrown over a mountain. In the same story, if the same story were depicted in a realistic way, that cat better damn well die after such a physical feat. Yeah, that's a bonus in this live action remake. The cat dies. Yeah. I love animation and have endured all and hated some of Disney's live action remakes. I think the mouse also thinks these flicks are stinkers and are just doing it to ensure a colorable claim to extend the original material's copyright. Just saying, if you had to hold a gun to my head to pick a cartoon to make live action, I'd say it's already been made. the X-Men franchise. This series of films draws heavily upon Fox's The X-Men Animated Series, 1992 to 1997. Better cartoon series than this are few and far between. The films have been given care and reverence to the source material's darkness, allegorical elements, and good and bad are often strained interpersonal relationships of the X-Men themselves, end quote. Well, there you have it. Thanks, Bill.
Another one for none.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say, though,
that... the dwarves control the means of production.
The structure of the urban proletariat.
No, it was Wolverhampton Wanderers who beat Leicester 3-1.
Oh, crap. So I think that, I don't know if he's read the comics, but I also notice there's a lot of plots that come out of the old Byrne Claremont X-Men, too. I've strangely never watched the cartoon, but...
I don't watch some of it. It was actually not bad.
Good enough for them to bring it back, and people like it there, too. So there you go.
Yeah.
Tyler Stewart was brief with, quote, heavy metal, end quote. Interesting. Oh. One of the segments of in heavy metal was actually kind of sort of made into a movie. It was called The Fifth Element. And we know how that turned out, so.
There were a lot of parallels with the Harry Canyon and The Fifth Element.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tyler. Oh, then Tyler was brief again with, quote, The Hobbit, end quote. Oh, I see what you did there. Didn't like the live action one because it stunk.
Yeah.
Twice. Or was it four times? I can't remember.
Three.
They were all terrible. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah.
Brad Albertson said, quote, The Last Unicorn. They kept it as close to the... If they kept it as close to the original as possible when they produced the movie, it was one of the last hand-drawn movies, and many of the artists went on to form Studio Ghibli, which brought excellent films to the storytelling. If they could keep the same, if they could keep the same level of storytelling in a live-action film, I think it would make an excellent live-action film. End quote. Huh, that's a favorite of some of our listeners. So thanks, Brad.
Yeah.
In fact, speaking of one of our favorite listeners, Jamie Kleinert agreed with Brad and added, quote, as long as they don't overdo the CG like some of the Disney live-action remakes have done, I would be 100% behind this, end quote. Thanks, Jamie. You've seen that, haven't you?
Met Last Unicorn?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
Peter Beagle? Something like that?
Yep. Peter Beagle, as in Voyage of the...
Cool. Neat that I know that. Never seen the movie. Haven't read the book, but cool.
I read the book. I actually like the movie better. The book is good, but it's even darker and nastier.
Oh, wow. That's
rare. This isn't nasty, but it is very, it's a very sad story.
Well, it's The Last Unicorn.
Yeah.
You know, sad. Except
it isn't.
Max, spoilers. Mm-hmm. It's only a 40-something-year-old movie.
I ruined them all. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, spoilers. But Matt Reisman answered, quote, I'd really like a live-action Gargoyles, mostly because I'd like more Gargoyles. But in general, I'd rather see a more stylized animation and less hyper-realistic CG animation. I mean, live-action, end quote. It's another show I need to get around to watching. Thanks, Matt. Byron Ho posted, quote, I'd be interested in a DuckTales or Tailspin live-action film, end quote. Oh. More controversial Disney stuff. Thanks, Byron. Rob Butler's response was, quote, Atlantis, the Lost Empire, end quote. Huh. That one was less cartoony than most of Disney's films.
That was actually, some of the characters are a lot more more realistic looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah. Cool. Dave, insert musical tribute here. Oops. homework. Anyway, Dave sent, quote, Yellow Submarine, but it would take a special effects genius to do it the way I picture it in my head.
Yeah.
And I would not be faithful to the original, but more tribute-like. I would keep the color scheme and music for sure. Oh, glad he's keeping the music. But I wouldn't do stuffed animal style for the creatures, end quote. Ooh, maybe they could make a version to scare the crap out of an adult Max Levine. Thanks, Dave.
Please, let's not, please.
That'd be great. Regan McStravick was up next with, quote, Ooh, going down the Hobbit rabbit hole. Hobbit hole? I wonder what a live-action remake of Wizards would be like, end quote.
Oh, boy.
As long as they keep the ending, I'd give it a try. Thanks, Regan.
Yeah,
isn't one of the characters pretty much a hat?
yeah, kind of.
Isn't he kind of one of the main characters?
Yeah, Avatar is basically a hat, a nose, and some feet.
Yeah, sort of Cheech Wizard, but not quite. Anyway, thanks, Regan. Charles Forsyth wrote, quote, Bambi versus Godzilla, end quote. Charles, I should have seen that coming, but thanks.
Oh, you wacky, wacky Charles.
Apparently, Charles does not have time to sit in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Harry McCracken posted, quote, "No, with the possible exception of ones based on books that could also be done in live action or have been," end quote. Well, there you go. And he knows a thing or two about animation. Thanks, Harry. Mm. Richard Tatum answered, quote, "American Pop," end quote. Another Bakshi vote.
Oh.
Thanks, Richard.
That's practically live action as it is. It's just take the rotoscoping off.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he kept all the really rough and tumble language and stuff, because, yeah. Brian Mundo said, quote, "I mean, Lion King and Aladdin could make good live action. Did they? No, but they could have," end quote. He's right. Okay. They didn't. Thanks, Brian. Lauren Buxbaum, who is a doctor, so you should listen to her, wrote,
that's
quote,
right,
"No, I like my cartoons as they are. I have no interest in blowing up my two-dimensional heroes into the third," end quote. Interesting that she said blow up. See Coyote versus Acme due out any time now.
Yeah. But what if they blow up real good?
Doesn't matter. She says no.
Okay.
So cool. Thank you, Dr. Lauren. We also have a first-time responder, Jane Evans, and she wrote, quote,
"Hello,
Scooby-Doo
Jane.
Zombie Island," end quote. Well, more live-action Scooby.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I still
that's
want
actually,
Matthew
that's a
Lillard.
Good choice.
It has to have Matthew Lillard, or it won't work.
It does. Yeah. He is Shaggy.
And no Scrappy. Ever.
No. Utter absence of the Scrap.
Oh, Justin, he's dead. Oh, that's sad.
Oh. But, yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Jane. Oh, wait. The hotline is buzzing with Doris Heppelmeyer's answer. Start rubbing your ears together, Max.
It's not my ears I'm rubbing.
Yeah, we know. Oh, that's disgusting.
I mean my hands in anticipation.
Yeah, sure. Antissa.
Say it.
Patient. Let's
thank
listen.
You.
Hello, Max Bike Movies. Hi, Max. This is Doris Heppelmeyer here to answer your poll question. I'm going to pull from way back in my past, like way back, and come up with a show that I bet you guys probably heard of, but I don't know if you've ever seen. And that's a show called Cool McCool. It was kind of a takeoff on James Bond, but like weird animals and stuff like that. So it might be fun to turn into a live-action movie. What do you think? I think it might be fun. Anyway, I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I'll look forward to hearing next week's episode, and I'll see you later, Max. Bye.
Cool McCool. Wow, that
oh
is
my
digging
God.
Deep.
That is a deeper.
I admit, I've never seen it.
Hurricane Harry.
Yep. I've never seen it. I went and looked it up online just because, and it's like, they gave the main character Jack Benny's voice for some reason. Because nothing says cool like Jack Benny. Anyway, that is a weird one, but thanks again, Doris.
Yes, thank you.
Then again, so is Max. So speaking of Max, what's your answer to this penetrating wood finish of a question?
Honestly, I got to go with the people who are saying just no.
Yeah.
I don't like real life versions of the old cartoons.
Do you like Green Eggs and Ham?
Only in a box with a fox.
Oh, all right. Not in your socks? Not with
in
extra
my
clocks?
Socks.
I don't know.
Hey, no, not on a Xerox. I think that the fine Irish laddie Bill O'Lading was right. Things that are animated are meant to be animated.
Mm-hmm.
They're designed for that genre. And in general, I don't like it when they try to force them into real world.
Well,
what about you?
Well, I'm going to pretty much go on the no side, too. Animation allows you to do things you can't do in live action, period. Even if it's like realistic CG, if you try to do Bugs Bunny style facial expressions and reactions, and it's a realistic rabbit, it's just going to be really, really weird. That is
it's
nightmare.
It's going to be seriously uncanny valley stuff. Yeah.
Interestingly, a lot of times animated films like Disney films have been adaptations of books.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they tend to be so iconic that when you see another version of them, you're like, well, that's not the right one.
Yeah.
So if it was maybe an adaptation of the source material, a book, and it had nothing to do with the animated version, maybe, but I think you're just going to end up still comparing the two, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, you can't do the timing in a live-action film that you do in a cartoon. No matter how well you do it, it always comes off as kind of slow.
Yeah.
The closest I think they may have ever got was The Mask.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
But the problem is The Mask character was animation speed and everybody else was slow.
Yeah, and they kind of worked with that, but it did look weird. It took you out of the movie all the time, which was some of the point, because he does keep breaking the fourth wall.
And in Roger Rabbit, when the animated characters are in our world, they slow them down. They don't do quite the same things. Because when Eddie Valiant goes to Toontown, you'll notice he seems slow in comparison.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right.
Yeah, so the speed just doesn't really allow for that sort of thing. Yeah. But yeah, well, that's all well and good, and we thank you for those answers.
Thank you.
Do it again, won't you?
Yeah.
We'd like to know, here's where we're going to get a big possible fight, but we'd like to know who is your favorite Star Wars character and why? Write us, call us, send a pigeon, just do so at the end of the show. But now... Mm-hmm. The beginning of the show. Seen anything good? So, Max, have you seen anything lately? Anything good?
I did, actually. I saw, to my surprise and enjoyed, Toy Story 5.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was better than it had any right to be.
It still has something to say, huh?
I think so. And the nice thing is, it doesn't go the way you think. Part of it is toys versus technology. And it doesn't say one is evil and one is good.
But we know that one of them is.
Yes, of course.
That thing that we're using right now, actually.
No, it's toys who are constantly plotting our death.
Nah. Huh. That does surprise me. I have no interest in this because I've seen enough.
Now, admittedly, the bar was very low because I thought Toy Story 4 was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I thought this was going to be bad too. And I think part of it is instead of focusing entirely on Woody and Buzz, they focus on Jessie.
Huh. Well,
and she's got an interesting story arc. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, that's what I've seen. What about you? You seen anything this week?
Well, I finished up something that I mentioned earlier. I finished up Spider-Noir.
It was decent,
but we liked all of the actors except Nicolas Cage.
Oh, dear.
And in fact, we'd rather have seen the guy who played Robbie Robertson in the role of Spider-Noir because he was really good, and I think he would have made a better Spider-Noir, quite honestly. But we forgot to mention one last week that we both saw, and I understand why we forgot to mention it. Somehow we did not know ahead of time that they'd made another one in the long lauded Deathstalker series.
Oh God, that's right.
The reaction you should have. I mean, to really any of the Deathstalker.
That's right. This is from 2025. Yeah. I came across it by accident.
There is nobody in it. Nobody.
Oh,
except
that is not true.
The voice of Patton Oswalt. Basically, he plays Gwildor.
I think you call him Doodad.
Doodad, yeah, because he's played by a little person, so it has to have a cute little name, because whatever. Most of the film is as dreadful as you would expect. The rubber monsters are very rubbery. The special effects are not so special. But the guy who plays evil bad person, whose name I don't remember, at certain points
sure you do.
Is...
Come on.
Oh, that's right.
Necromemnon. Necromemnon.
And I have to give the actors in the film credit for not laughing anytime anybody has to say or hear the name Necromemnon. But when we finally catch up to old Necky, quite honestly, the guy who's playing him is having a ball.
And he's having so much fun.
Some of his lines are actually really funny. If you are a fan of really crappy, and I do mean really crappy sword and sorcery films, including Sword and Sorcerer, then sure, find a free way to watch Deathstalker. It has no number, it's just 2025.
No.
So I can't tell if it's supposed to be part of the series, if it's a reboot or whatever. I don't think it knows, and I honestly don't think it cares. But that's what we saw. So now back to Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
The facts.
Budget. $638 million. Dear gods, that's all
underwear.
The money ever. Wow.
That's more money.
Holy crap. I think this is not only the top earner for that year, but the top earner for any movie we've ever done on the show. $2 billion.
Oh, my Lord.
Yikes.
Wow. Yeah. $2 billion. That's like Elon Musk money.
That's more than $1 billion.
It's almost twice as much.
Yeah. There was a record set with this film, and it had nothing to do with the money. Composer really? John Williams earned his 50th Oscar nod with this film. 50th. Only one other person has met or exceeded that score. Can you take a guess at who that was?
Wait, for music?
No, just for an Oscars in general.
Oh, for an Oscar? Glenn Close.
No, Walt Disney.
Well, that was going to be actually be my next guess. Yes, all right.
Yeah. Apparently, Luke Skywalker's appearance wasn't a guaranteed thing. Lucas approached Mark Hamill and said that they'd like him to be in this new Disney-helmed sequel, but if he wasn't up for it, they'd just write him out. Apparently, Mark Hamill was then pretending not to be horribly excited. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll do it. And then went home and went, squee, I get to be Luke Skywalker.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
And who gets top billing in this movie? Did you notice?
I did not. Who?
Harrison Ford. That's who.
Oh, okay.
And how much did he make for this movie? $25 million. Pays to get killed off. Oops. Spoiler.
You ruined my childhood.
Yeah. George Lucas's name appears in the credits, but he had no input on this movie. Asked if he was nervous, he said he wasn't until he was about to see the finished product. And how did he like it? Well, initially, he said he did. But then he recanted, calling the film too retro and Disney akin to, quote, white slavers, end quote. Suddenly, what? He changed his mind again and said everything was fine, situation normal. Yeah, I can't imagine there was any
I see.
Money.
They sent some of the mouse troopers to his house.
I guess so. Poor Gary Oldman. This was the third Star Wars film he auditioned for and the third time he didn't make the cut.
Oh, how do you not use Gary Oldman?
Because you use Max von Sydow instead.
I suppose.
And in case you were wondering, the events depicted in this film are meant to take place 30 years after those in Return of the Jedi, which is convenient as that film was made 32 years before this one. Mark Hamill was 63 when making this movie, which was the same age that Alec Guinness was when he made the original Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
All your heroes are old, kids, just so
interesting,
you know.
Interesting parallel.
No, you didn't miss it. Someone does indeed say, I've got a bad feeling about this. Just like someone's done in every Star Wars movie before this one. This time around, Han says it.
Yep. When they're in the cargo ship, right?
Yeah. Yep. Too short for a stormtrooper, huh? Well, Mark Hamill is 5'9", and so is John Boyega.
Oh, okay.
That's why he couldn't stay in the core. He was too short.
Well, no, but the others were... In the original, they were all clones, so they were all the same height.
Yeah, sure. There were diets and regimens for some of the older actors, one of them being Carrie Fisher. Her response to this, quote, "It's a tremendous difficulty getting myself down to a weight that's acceptable to some 35-year-old studio executive whose deepest fantasy and worst nightmare somehow both involve me in a gold bikini," end quote. Miss Carrie.
Oh, she was so cool.
Yeah. And dear gods, I think this movie had more trivia than the last 10 movies we covered put together. I'm going to call it there, unless, Max, do you have something you want to throw in?
No. This people can find it. There's acres of trivia.
You know, the droid that is named numbered 40 blah, 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 is actually supposed to be a certain type of droid, but is actually this kind of droid. Movie ruined.
Yeah. Tons and tons
exactly.
of that, which I just
exactly.
So
I do still like Daniel Craig's cameo.
Well, we're going to get to that, but okay.
Okay.
The plot. Oh, boy.
The plot.
So, truncated is not the word, but here we go. It's space. Somewhere. Somewhen. And the good guys are being hounded by the bad guys. But there's a secret that will really help out the good guys, and it's only to be found on this dusty sand planet. Suddenly, the bad guys show up, so one of the good guys has to shove a floppy disk with the secret information into a robot and send him off to do the best he can. Sound familiar? But we have a whole new passel of characters this time around. We have Poe, a hotshot pilot, and his buddy BB-8, the beach ball. We have Rey, a lost child who's barely eking out a living, scrounging parts off downed spaceships. Then there's Finn, a stormtrooper who walks away from his post after his first battle. They're all thrown together as they try to get BB-8 to the Resistance so the map to the lost Jedi, Luke Skywalker, can be read and he can be found. Ah! But new bad guy Kylo Ren won't be having that. Oh, no, he won't, precious. With his First Order pals, they will track down this rebel scum.
Sound familiar?
And bring them to justice. Suddenly, who pops up but the old characters, and I do mean old. Han Solo, Chewbacca, and Princess Leia. Together, they can surely find where Luke is gone. But before they can, the new Death Star, now a planet, that sucks the power out of a whole star, just shoots the galactic capital all to smithereens. Oops. That makes things tricky. There's starship battles, lightsabers, pew-pews, and badow-badows galore in this rehash reboot. The story continues, space opera spectacular.
Kaboom!
The film.
So, yeah, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Max, I'm going to ask, because we always do, did you see this in the theater when it came out? Yes.
No, I missed the missed it. It didn't get a lot of marketing for me. Yeah, no, of course I saw it.
Yeah, I think it was in my underwear before I was. What's this doing here? What's Force Awakens doing in my briefs?
We don't need to know what gets in your underwear.
Yeah, you were the one rubbing hands together earlier. So yeah, Star Wars. Now, you're not a particular Star Wars fan, are you?
I enjoy it, but I'm not a fanatic about it, no.
Yeah? Is there anything that you are a fanatic about? I mean, Lord of the Rings, probably.
Terry Pratchett.
Good choice, both.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings nerd.
Yeah. Did you see Star Wars in the theater when it came out?
Comic books. Yes, I did. I saw it the first, I mean, the
original New Hope. One.
I did. I saw it the first week it was out in Boston.
Well, you beat me by like 7 or 8 months.
No, the thing was, I wasn't particularly interested in it when it came out. I was seeing the ads, and mostly the ads were really confusing.
Oh.
Like, here's a furry guy. Here's a guy with a, that sword looks cool. Who's the guy in the black? What the hell is happening?
Huh.
I mean, I was a kid, so it was a little hard to focus on. And I just remember going in these mobs of people and just sitting there going, all right, what's this going to be like? And the first time the Star Destroyer shows up, it's like, oh my God, what is that?
I hope you get used to that shot because you're going to be seeing it again.
We see that shot of... awful lot, don't
we? Yeah. Mm-hmm, we're going to come back to these scene things a lot. But
You assume saw Force Awakens in the theater also?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, my partner is a ginormous Star Wars fan. You might remember him from episode, I think, 100 when we did all the Star Wars ever. So,
yep.
Dr. Tyler Hutchinson, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but as
man
usual,
is a doctor.
Yeah, he is of veterinary medicine. So I go to him for all of my medical needs. Remember, you have to call me Mongrel.
Unfortunately, we've decided to have Mike put down.
It's time. You know, it's Daisy Hill Puppy Farm up north. So, yeah. But we have a cast of people, and a lot of them are new. Not all of them, but a lot of them are new.
Yeah.
We have Daisy Ridley as Rey,
who gives us proof that you can be a scavenger with no money and nothing on a desert planet and still find time to do excellent hair and skin care and keep your legs shaved.
Not her fault.
I know.
I like her as Rey. I like the character. I think she's got a lot of potential. We're going to come back to that word more than once. But I never heard of her before, which was the idea. They decided, hey, you know what? Why don't we get unknowns? Which is fine. Yeah. I'd actually like to see more unknowns in movies, quite honestly. Get tired of seeing some of the same people. Especially if they're British, because there's only 50 actors in Britain, you know.
Yeah.
So I think she does fine.
They just put on different
hats. I think she stands up to Adam Driver really well. We'll come back to him. But apparently her first day on set, she was told that she was wooden, and it devastated her. She was just so upset because JJ said, you're kind of wooden. And I'm sure her response should have been, well, that's what George wants.
Yeah. This is a Star Wars movie, right? It means I fit in.
Yeah. Then we have John Boyega as Finn. Love John Boyega.
He's awesome, except there's something funny about his skin tone. I don't know what it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's called diversity, Max, and we should have lots and lots more of it.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, my first thought was, when I first saw it, was, okay, here's the one black character.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, wow, there's more of them. Nice.
Yeah. Never heard of him either, I guess. He was pretty young, also inexperienced.
It blew me away when I found out he's also English.
Yeah.
Because he does a great job suppressing the accent. He is really good.
Yeah. There's some really good conflicted scenes, and that character is just like, we're going to come back to the character, but I think he portrays him very well. There was a story I saw him, I think it was on Graham Norton or something, and he's like, he was not allowed to tell anybody anything, right, ahead of time. And of course, he wasn't known. And he was going out on a date with somebody, a first date, and they were a cab, and they passed a billboard with his head on it because of their advertising the film. And he's like, yeah, I'm kind of in that. So.
Nice.
Oscar Isaac, otherwise known as Moon Knight.
Moon Knight.
And he plays Poe. Yeah. Poe doesn't get much to do in this film.
No, he doesn't do nearly enough kung fu. I don't get it.
He's not a panda, Max. You may have noticed, although with Max you can never tell.
Thought he lost a lot of weight for this movie. Okay. Yeah, no, he's the little he gets to do.
Yeah.
Because he, like, at one point just sort of disappears from the movie and then shows up later and is like, I got better.
Oh, he's dead. He's dead. Oh, there he is. Yeah. Yep. And this was a problem with the suits, apparently, when they came to make the second film. And that is that Poe and Finn have probably the best chemistry between the two characters in the film.
They really do. I mean, I know we're supposed to see think of there's chemistry between Finn and Rey. But really, it's like, just get her out of the way and let those two make out.
Apparently, both actors were totally cool with it. We're like, yeah, we'd do it. Mm-hmm. And the fans were interested. It's just the suits were like, uh-uh. Because, of course, there's certain places in the world that don't care for that sort of thing. That being said, I still felt that there was a kinship between Finn and Rey. It was just, they're friends. And it's the first person that actually showed him any kindness. That's what I got. But
I thought it's kind of sad. He gets friend zoned so hard by Rey, and it's clear he's interested in her. And it's also clear that's one of the things I liked about the character. I know we'll come to this later. He is so absolutely clueless as to how to talk to a woman because very clearly he never has.
Well, he has talked to a woman, but she's a lot taller than him, and she basically punishes him all the time because he's a bad stormtrooper.
Well, he might like that, but, you know, he has no social skills because he'd been raised to be a child soldier, basically.
Yeah, Harrison Ford, I'm going to put it right out there. Harrison Ford is Harrison Ford. He's fine.
Yeah, he's very grizzled in this.
The scene he has with Adam Driver at the very end, I think, is very well done. But this is what Harrison Ford does. He's very good at being Harrison Ford. Mark Hamill, I'm not going to judge. He doesn't talk.
No, he's... facial expression in his one scene, which is like, 20 seconds, is actually, I thought, very effective. He has that look of someone who's gone through terrible loss, but no real point because he's barely in the movie.
Carrie Fisher, I think the fun part with Carrie Fisher is when you see her do roles like this and then you see her on a talk show and you realize, oh, wow, she is absolutely nothing like that.
Nope. This is where she's acting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, she's always got a fun story to tell about something, usually something she did, because she was quite the troublemaker in her day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's fine as Princess Leia. She's fine.
She also doesn't get much to do.
No. But this film isn't really meant to be about the old characters. In fact, we see some of them off, shall we say. Adam Driver's Kylo Ren. I really like him. I like the fact that he goes nuts and has temper tantrums. It makes him actually scary.
I like the idea because they always talk about how the Sith are ruled by their emotions. And yet mostly we just see them as, in me power. They're just, I'm so calm and evil. And he's like, he's a whiny little bitch sometimes.
Yeah. But also it just lets you do not know what he's going to do. And I like that, because that makes him a lot more scary. That being said, you can only do this for so long and, three films, I guess. We have Lupita Nyong'o as Maz Kanata. I wanted to see more of that character. Of course, we don't get to see Lupita at all. Oh, Lupita, no.
Yeah, I like, okay, there's our Yoda.
Yeah.
Let's see, short, weird eyes,
Pretty much, she says, I'm not a Jedi, but I play one on TV.
I play one on TV,
know each other too well.
Too well.
Andy Serkis, I don't know if it's his voice. If it is, I'll give him cred because I did not recognize it.
I didn't either. And I don't know. I'm sorry. Snoke. One of the things that impressed me in the beginning of this movie is, thank God, the names are better. We don't have Count Dooku or Naboo or Kit Fisto or any of these things.
What is he doing?
It's
you don't want to know.
Yeah. Kylo Ren, that's a cool Maz Kanata. And then we get Snoke. Really?
Yeah.
Supreme Leader Snoke.
Snoke. It sounds like something like a non-verbal animal sidekick character just says that. That is her only word.
Thank you for not snoking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. He's creepy looking.
Yeah, he looks creepy. I like the fact that they make him out to be giant, except
he
then it turns out he isn't.
No, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Domhnall. I don't know how to pronounce that. Gleason as General Domhnall Hux.
Gleason.
Love to hate him. And he'll actually have a much more interesting role later on.
That's Brendan Gleeson's son, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Interesting. That is Mad-Eye Mooney's kid.
Ooh. He's extra creepy in Spider-Noir, Brendan Gleeson is.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
He's like, oh, you're born to play a mob boss. I just never realized it before. So, yeah, I think it's nice to see a ginger out there, too. Get a little representation going on. And it's nice to have somebody to bounce off Kylo Ren. So, Max von Sydow, I'm going to skip it. Anthony Daniels is fine. He's as C-3PO. Max von Sydow.
Hey, Max von Sydow, come
wasted.
On. It's Mark. Yeah, I know. You could have had Ming the Merciless as a Jedi.
He's got that voice.
He does. He's in one scene.
Yeah, and he dies, so he's not coming back. Yeah. Chewbacca. Gwendolyn Christie. Sadly, a character that does not get developed enough because it's Gwendolyn Christie!
How do you have Gwendolyn Christie and cover her face for the whole movie? What is wrong with you?
I don't even necessarily mind that. I just wish there had been more with... Although, it's a big film, and it's 2.5 hours long, nearly, so I kind of get it, but she was good enough, and it's Gwendolyn Christie that I wanted more. I mean, I guess that's basically the way I feel about her in everything. I want more of her. Whatever she's been given to do, I want more. So, Simon Pegg is unrecognizable. Then there's other people playing Glup Shido and all that stuff. So, whatever. That's a deeper. So, yeah, acting is good. Good to very good. So, yeah. But we have episode 7, The Search for Spock. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
When Star Wars ended, because it kind of didn't, back in 1983, did you want more?
I don't know. I was young and foolish back then, and I wanted more lightsabers and more space battles and so forth.
Well, you'd get plenty of that in the prequels.
Yeah, then the prequels to me were a case of be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, pod racing.
After the prequels, I was like, okay, please stop.
Yeah, but 9 years later, we'd get this.
Yeah.
Well, the nice thing is that sometimes the studios know that there's stuff that we like, so they just give it to us again. And this film, I mean, let's face it. It's a J.J. Abrams trademark, right? He's like, I'm going to make this thing. I'm just going to remake this thing. That used to be another thing, but now I'm going to remake it, and it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the plot of the first movie. Almost exactly.
It's Jakku, not Tatooine, although could be the same planet. BB-8, not R2-D2.
And it's a map to Luke Skywalker, not of the plans of the planet killer.
Kylo Ren, not Darth Vader, although he keeps Darth Vader's head in a box, which is not creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy as hell.
Supposedly, the ashes are supposed to be the ashes of his defeated enemies, not his grandfather, but whatever, kids.
Oh, ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
I will say that Finn is almost instantly sympathetic. It's actually nice to see. I mean, up till now, if you didn't watch the cartoons, if you only watched the live-action movies, the Stormtroopers never have a single face except for Jango Fett. And now we're supposed to assume that during those films back then, they were all Jango Fett. Him. And now they're not all so whatever. So it's actually nice to see something about that. I have huge questions, though, on how he made it this far in the First Order.
He was pretty old to have never been in a battle before, especially as this conflict seems to be pretty hot and seems to happen a lot.
Well, I think it's fair. The battle part might be fair because the First Order is supposed to be up and coming. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to now be ready to start taking on their good guys. But wouldn't a psych profile somewhere say, he's going to wet his pants the first time we put him out there? We can't do this. So I don't know.
Damn it, we haven't turned him into a sociopath.
Well, and that's a really interesting point because he decides, I can't do this. Killing innocent people is wrong. But later on, he has literally not even a second's thought about killing people he grew up with.
Yeah, he's just hacking apart his old stormtrooper buddies.
Yeah, there's one who calls him a traitor. So it basically says, I know who you are. I see you without the helmet on. I know you. And you've sold us out and are killing us left and right. That was a little weird.
That's a little odd. Yeah. But again, he was fighting people who were fighting back. He didn't like the idea of murdering unarmed civilians.
I just thought there could have been something about some sort of... I must have liked somebody, right? There must have been a friend somewhere, I guess. I don't know. It was weird.
Maybe. But. I got a question for you about Ray.
I was about to bring her up too. Go right ahead. Yep.
Do you think she's a Mary Sue?
No.
That is one of the big accusations of the, about the character.
Really?
Yeah.
No, because she's not a princess. You could say that eventually...
Sort of.
Oh, please.
It turns out her grandfather is the emperor.
It's not necessarily her grandfather. It just may be genetic tissue from the grandfather. They never quite clear, because I don't see anybody sleeping with Palpatine. That's just like...
Even back when he was skeevy.
You've got that weird easy-bake oven bread roll head thing going on. We're not... maybe if you put a bag on your head, we could get down to business, but uh-uh. No Jiffy Pop. Right,
give me a turkey baster and we'll get you some kids.
Yeah. Of course, they never talk about that with old Jake's character, Anakin, either. It's was no man. There was a turkey baster, but technically, okay.
Yeah, there was no man. I mean, technically, Watto isn't a man. I mean,
no,
he's a Toydarian.
I don't think, and of course, we're looking ahead too, right? Because we're only supposed to be looking at this film.
Yeah.
So I don't think of her as a Mary Sue because, quite honestly, she goes through enough crap. And look who she's paired with. She doesn't want to be paired with him. She is paired, and she is trying to potentially turn Kylo Ren around, who basically makes every effort to not turn around until way, 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 way later we have something even worse show up, which, you know, Ian McDiarmid's got to eat too. I don't know. Did you?
Not entirely, but I absolutely can see the accusation. She is one of the... She's suddenly good at everything she tries.
All right, so we're going to do
that. She is... Yes, she is apparently a ship mechanic, despite the fact never having worked on a working ship. She can pilot brilliantly, despite the fact she has never actually flown a ship. Han Solo hands her a blaster for the first time ever. She hits almost every target. She pulls force powers out of her butt and is able to go toe-to-toe with Kylo Ren... After a day. You think Luke could have done that with Vader on day one?
Yeah, I could totally have done it. Okay. So, one of my notes is, there are so many coincidences. Like, this puts Shakespeare into it, like, off to the side.
This is a Dickensian movie, yes.
Or Dickens, I'm sorry. Yeah. Finn just happens to come to the planet where Poe and the map to Skywalker are, which just happens to be the planet Rey is on. The Millennium Falcon just happens to be here, and Han Solo just happens to be nearby when they escape with it. So my question was, is this meant to imply that the Force is actively manipulating things?
No, I don't think so. I think it's the writers were being lazy.
I disagree, especially because of what you brought up with Rey. They need somebody. They don't have... Or they. It. Whatever.
Who's they?
Has nobody on the side, because we find out in the second film, Luke's basically said, yeah, I made a kind of a mistake, and I'm going to walk away and go away now. Leave me alone. So there is nobody. And this is the closest they've got, and we don't have time for the training montage. We don't have time for Bruce Lee on Killer Island or anything.
What?
Whatever, you know, Dr. Yeah. Klon, the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
So I wondered, and this is apparently a fan theory, I didn't know this, but I wondered if it wasn't meant to imply a more active role or a more intelligent role that the Force has taken in the past.
But other than pure speculation... I don't think there's any evidence of that. No one even hints at that. No, none of the Force wielders of any kind say, oh, the Force is moving things around, or the Force is moving pieces on the game board.
Yeah.
I never get that feeling from any of the other media. And I don't get it a feeling in this movie. I think this movie, it's just all a question of convenience.
I think there could be either way, honestly. I'm not going to say you're wrong about the ridiculous convenience of this. It's a galaxy. How many habitable planets have we even seen? Never mind how many are there. And all of these things just happen to happen on the same planet on the same day, basically. Yeah. It would actually be really funny, like the real world version of this. It's like, oh, Poe shows up and, oh, okay, we'll give that they're tracing the map and they found it here. So the First Order shows up together. Poe tries to get away, but there's no one there to help him. So he gets taken aboard the Star Destroyer and killed.
Yep. Movie over.
End of the movie. Yep.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's a tough one. And of course, Star Wars fans, if nothing else, are both rewriters and apologists. That is kind of the thing. If you want to be a Star Wars fan, you're basically going to have to, at some point, say, well, really what they meant to do and what they were saying was blah, 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 blah. Or if you read, there's a lot of that, which, of course, as Max has pointed out, and rightfully so, a film should stand on its own. You shouldn't have to read a set of books to understand it. Mm-hmm. But Star Wars is a thing. It is no longer something you can look at singularly. It is tied to a behemoth of media. Do you think that film suffers from this? Do you think that somebody could have never watched anything to do with Star Wars and gotten something out of this?
I think so, because the performances are still good. And as you say, it's a rehash of the first movie. So it's the same plot. So you've already, in effect, you get to see it here.
I think it's fair to say that that was the idea.
I guess to bring in a new generation of fans.
I mean, because it was 9 years after the last film. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you were even 9 back then, you're now 18, which is kind of the prime age for this stuff. And this film, unlike Return of the Jedi, isn't really catering to kids.
No, it's a lot more violent and there's a lot more death in it.
Yeah. In fact, we get a bloody handprint in the first 5 minutes of the film. And I remember the first time I saw that, it's like, have we seen blood? Oh, I guess we saw a tiny little bit in the original Star Wars film, but it was with a severed arm.
yeah.
But, you know, after that, when things got merchandised, we don't see it so much.
How much of this do you think is fan service, this movie?
Interestingly, not so much, especially because the fans, otherwise known as the annoying middle-aged white guys, were screaming about there being a female main character and a black guy as a main role in this film. I think the fan service is literally like, okay, we have Han Solo, we have Chewbacca, we have C-3PO, R2-D2, and we have Luke Skywalker. There, are you happy? But they're not the central focus of the film, not least of which because some of them may not last a lot longer and we can't hang a franchise on 80-year-olds. So
but it's just it annoys me, and I noticed it more this time I watched the movie. When Han Solo and Chewbacca appear on screen, or when Leia appears on screen, there is this very real hold for applause moment where no one says anything. They just stop, stand there, because they're going, okay, this is where all the fans lose their minds in the theater.
Yeah.
Well. And that irritates me.
It didn't bother me so much. I'm sure that there was a thought about that because people were going to. Apparently, when the trailer first came out, the part where Han and Chewie leap on the Millennium Falcon and say, "We're home, Chewie, we're home." Mm-hmm. Apparently, that was put in the end and people exploded. Like, they were so thrilled to see Han and Chewie again. So maybe they were also just cheering the fact that this was not another prequel. There are some really cool details in here, though, and stuff that's not spelled out that I did like. At one point, when they're in what is her last name? Maz Kanata's bar, and Rey is
deep.
And Rey goes wandering off because she thinks she hears something. Do you realize what she's listening to?
She hears Obi-Wan's voice.
No, that's not all she hears. Do you remember what else she hears?
I don't remember. I had the subtitles on. That's why I noticed it says Obi-Wan.
She hears screaming children.
Okay. Yeah,
it's that lightsaber.
Excuse me, you mean younglings?
No, I don't. That is not a word. The closest you can get is yangling, which is a beer.
You drank yanglings?
Yeah, so this, and we never get to find out how Maz Kanata got a hold of that blade, because it was lost in Bespin. Yeah. It went down the chute, but she somehow got it, which is kind of cool. But what if she hears kids screaming and it's like, oh, yeah, this is the one Anakin used to kill the kindergarten class. Yikes.
Yeah.
I did like that. And I did like the fact that they had one stormtrooper calling Finn a traitor, you know, giving him a connection back to what he'd walked away from and potentially something to make this think about.
Kylo Ren calls him that, too.
Yeah, well, everybody does because they actually know his number. They don't know. He doesn't have a name, so... So there are cool things. I did no way for us to know this. You talked about the Jedi mind trick used on Daniel Craig. Apparently, he was literally just in the neighborhood because, you know, Britain. And he's sort of like, hey, can I get on in this? And they're like, yeah, don a stormtrooper outfit. We got a place for you. And they just let him do it. Yep. You'd never know it was him.
I'll remove your restraints and leave the door open. Go ahead, leave your weapon. And I'll drop my weapon. I like how tired he sounds when he's, and I'll drop my weapon.
Hey, you ever been in any of those costumes?
Yeah, I'm Stormtrooper Norman Krasner.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you aim this mighty new death planet?
I don't know. And I got a question. If this thing depowers the sun that it is orbiting, how does everyone not die instantly?
Well, they're inside.
Oh, they're inside. Yeah. How is there still an atmosphere?
Who cares? They're inside. Don't go out no more. There's no outside.
But they go outside afterwards.
Yeah. Somebody, I think it was Adam Savage, pointed out also that the amount of energy, if you literally sucked an entire star dry, you have a lot more to do with, play with than that.
You could have nailed more than three planets.
Although, to be fair, how far away was... And also, I had this question. Wait, did they just blow up Coruscant? No.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Apparently, according to canon, they basically moved the seat of government to New Jersey. And that's what they blew up. They blew up Space Jersey.
They blew up New... No wonder nobody was so upset. Yeah. Sorry, New Jersey. Sorry.
Sorry, Fort Worth. Yeah. So, but I was just sitting like, oh, good thing this planet happens to be aimed at that other planet, because now what are you going to do?
Yeah, and it's a good thing that all of the Republic bases are all sort of in a nice line in the same solar system.
Now, really? I'm willing to bet that big lensy thing, okay, it's on a big track. It's got the whole equator has been dug out. Sure, maybe it can spin around, but if you're not on that same plane, that axis, you're safe. So we're gonna put the government down here.
That's it. We'll figure out where that planet is, and we'll just go to the southern pole. Yeah.
Also, Starkiller. Interesting to use that. That was Luke's original last name.
That's right, Luke Starkiller.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was to me the laziest part. Like, okay, yes, they have this amazing new threat, and it's
round.
It's like the Death Star, but it's bigger.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Genius. Here is too much money.
I mean, it worked. We fell for it, right? Yeah.
So, not really, no. I'm mostly going, oh, come on.
So here's the thing. The tone of the original Star Wars, if there had been no other Star Wars, it had not been released in 77. If Star Wars were just released as it was in 2015... I don't think it would have sold.
Probably not. It was too optimistic, and it was too simple.
Too black and white, right? It was a fairy tale.
Yeah, the good guys were good, the bad guys were bad.
And so bad.
So very, very bad.
There was Darth killing that poor gay man on the Death Star. you know, and here's the thing, too, that's really impossible. Can you imagine a movie world, TV world, basically genre world, that did not have Star Wars impacting on it?
Not really.
No. I
mean, it's so much a part of the culture on so many levels. People who've never seen the movies know the movies.
Yeah. Would something have taken its place? Was it that time was ripe for something big? Who knows?
That's why, that'd be wild speculation. It's an interesting idea, but I have no bloody idea.
Well, and I think that that's one of the reasons that this is the same story but different, because we can't have that story the way it was told in 1977. It wouldn't play. So, yes, we have a Darth Vader character who's evil. We're told he's evil. To be fair, we see him strangling somebody, and he seems mean, and he shoots people with his ship. But he takes down Ben Kenobi. But quite honestly, Kylo Ren just comes off as that much crazier, nastier, and scarier when he shows up.
The first thing we see him do is order the execution of a bunch of unarmed people.
But he's also a much more conflicted character, which we'll come back to. And we see that. We see the nuance in Adam Driver's performance. She senses some good in him, but there's a lot less than she thinks there is. And his good is very warped. It's like, oh, yeah, the Emperor's bad. We should kill him so you and I can be the Emperor and Empress. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Okay, naked puzzle basement. That's
Okay, Robert Smith, go play some more Cure songs.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm looking at the clock on the wall. And you know what it says? Tick, 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 tick.
Oh, that's what I would think it would say.
Well,
damn,
it does, but it also says we got to get to the end of this so we can wrap this show up.
The finish.
So, Max. You realize you said so, Max, right?
I do.
Okay. You never can tell with him. He hasn't had his pills today.
Hey, it's been almost 400 episodes, so I thought I'd throw in a little surprise there.
It is nice to have a surprise in this show after 388 episodes and specials, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So you saw this when it came out.
I did.
Did you like it when it came out?
You know, I had kind of mixed feelings about it. It was better after the prequels. I had very low expectations.
Understandable.
And it was better than I had hoped it was. I was kind of annoyed that this is the same movie as A New Hope. But my main thing was, hey, they got good actors this time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. In the original Star Wars, the very first one, they're children and they're not very good.
Right.
Mark Hamill has not learned to act yet. Carrie Fisher isn't that good. Harrison Ford is getting there. But apart from Alec Guinness, Peter Cushing, and James Earl Jones, there aren't any actors in that movie. And in this one, there's a ton.
Mm.
So the performances and even some of the dopey-ass dialogue is more effective and is delivered better. It annoyed me that it ends on what is in effect a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Although I loved the way the next movie opens. I did not see that coming. That's good.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about it. I think it's better than any of the prequels. I do think there's a bit of a Mary Sue about Rey. Not entirely, but some. But I think the characters got short shrift, and which is too bad because all of them are interesting. Even Rey, I think, is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you like it now, though? What do you think now?
Now, after seeing all of the additional media that's come out from Star Wars, I think this is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's a lot better than some of the stuff that has come out since.
Yeah, Mandalorian, Grogu. Oops.
Solo, a Star Wars story.
I liked Solo. I think Solo is a perfectly watchable film. It's fun. It's. Mm. I believe that he's going to become Han Solo someday. Chewie is Chewie. I don't generally like Woody Harrelson, and I think he's perfectly cast in that film.
So what about you? I mean, you are way more into the Star Wars stuff than I am.
Yeah, probably. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I mean, I'm not. It's not my thing. My thing is Star Trek. It used to be before. Well, we won't go into that.
Yeah.
I liked it when it came out. Yeah, and initially I was swept up in the enjoyment of it. Some of the characters in this I like better than I liked in the original Star Wars. I like Finn better than I like Luke Skywalker. Sorry, I said it, but I do.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit more to him. He's a little bit less.
He's a lot
golly willikers.
I can't go in there. It's too weird in there.
Yeah, so I liked him better. I like Rey. I think that she also is starting from a more interesting place. And like you pointed out, we've got more acting going on, which makes things a lot better.
Mm.
We have a potential, you know, connection between Pin and Foe. Foe and Pin. No, Finn and Poe. And which, of course, doesn't...
Foe.
And that's that is the problem I have with this film. This film's... basic central theme is potential. Everybody's got potential here. Finn, what happens when Rey goes wandering off from Maz Kanata, her place? She doesn't take the lightsaber. Not least of which, because it's been screaming at her. Who does Maz specifically give the lightsaber to? She specifically hands it to Finn. Is he force sensitive? We don't know, because that is a thing.
He's
potentially a lot more interesting a character. He isn't.
Yeah, it turns out that they don't do anything with that.
Rey has potential. Even Kylo Ren has the potential to be a much more interesting character than a lot of the characters were in the original Star Wars. And again, the times are part of the reason for this. You could do a literal space opera fantasy fairy tale type of thing back in the 70s. And when Star Wars did it again, basically in 1977, because it's not like it hadn't been done before, it was really borrowing a lot from the serials of the 1930s and 40s. Thankfully, it got it a little better than those. Oh, dear. There's a lot of potential in this film. Where is this going to go? Where is this going to go? Oh, Luke is back and he's got his lightsaber. What's that going to mean? Phasma. Mm. Who's Captain Phasma? She seems really cool. What does she do?
Also, is she dead? They talk about throwing her in a garbage disposal, did they?
Spoiler, no.
No. But
later on, she is. So.
Yeah.
There's all of this potential. And I think that, and I actually like the way it ends myself. I like the fact that it ends, it's sort of a cliffhanger, literally, because there's the cliff there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It leaves us wanting more. We know it's Star Wars. There's no chance this is going to be the last Star Wars movie, no matter what the plot was. There's no end to this. Mm. We will all die and it will keep going.
Yeah.
So yep. I really enjoyed this film, and watching it again, I still really enjoy this film. The problem is when you watch the films that come after it and you realize a lot of this potential is flushed down the spanus.
Yeah.
So yep. Yeah. On its own, I think it's a great introduction. If you're a kid, like you're 12, 13, 14 years old, and you haven't bothered watching that show that your parents liked or that movie that your parents liked, this was probably your Star Wars. And I think it's a much better introduction than Episode 1.
Yeah.
The Phantom Vacuum Cleaner, whatever it was called.
The Phasma Meniscus or something.
So I still like it. I still think it's fun. I still enjoy it. I think it's well-paced. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm wanting to know what's going to happen. The coincidences are thicker than molasses.
Yeah, they're pretty
thick.
So
as far
thick.
As the storytelling goes, is it way up there? No.
It is fun. It moves along nicely.
You know what else moves along
and it
nicely?
Looks great.
Our poll question. Especially if you take it with a little fiber, as it was intended by nature. So speaking of Star Wars, we'd like to know, who is your favorite Star Wars character and why? That can be from any iteration. It could actually be Jax the giant 6-foot green rabbit from the Marvel comics if you want.
Oh, God.
If that's your favorite, sure.
If that's sure. Or the pork guy who throws the porcupine quills.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you would like to let us know, and how can you do this, you might ask.
How can you do this?
Oh, well, thank you, Max. You can email us directly at us@maxmikemovies.com or go to our website, maxmikemovies.com, leave a comment, talk to Vince. Hey, cheese boy, haven't heard from you in a while, just saying.
Mm.
You could also give us ideas for shows or movies that should be included in certain things, or even ideas for series. We like to hear those. We actually have one potentially coming up from one of our listeners. And you can also find us on podcast apps. Name it, we're there. And social media, as long as it is Facebook and Blueski, we are there. But we have done tops and bottoms for the year 2015, Max. It is time for you to randomly choose what year we are going to look at the top film next.
Right, you are. Okay.
So if you would roll, please.
Yep. Okay. 21st century.
21st. Another 21st. Okay.
Yep.
And in the 21st century?
2018.
All right, hang on.
2018, let me just check the Maxotron 9 million.
It's called the internet. We all have one.
Wow.
So taken in.
I am invincible. The top earner for 2018 was, okay, Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, not a huge shock there. Wow, that made a lot of money. Who knew?
Well, and this is an interesting choice because this is a film that basically brings the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe to an end because there was never any more movies or TV shows after that film.
Not a single one.
But actually, it does have to bring a big story to a conclusion. I wonder if it's actually any good.
So we'll find out. Be there. Excelsis Deo?
Avengers Disassemble.
This has been a co-production of The Voice of Max and The Movie Wrench.